a musical instrument, and regardless of whether or not you think it's in tune, God desires to hear it, and He accepts praise from any lips. You don't have to be a professional. That's the world's philosophy. He accepts it from the heart. If you would please take your Bibles again and turn with me to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12 tonight. We'll dismiss our kids to their evening class. And Romans chapter 12. Thankful for my son Jeremiah filling in, helping me out in the sound booth. He's taken over Miss Jennifer's spot, doing a great job. And I'm glad, because I don't know how to do any of that stuff back there. We've been talking about the subject of spiritual gifts, and Romans chapter 12 begins by telling us to present our bodies a living sacrifice. It's our reasonable service. We talked about that on Saturday, how that we're servants of the Lord. But then as it comes down a little bit farther into the chapter, it talks about what our service is, and it really relays it to our focus and our role in the body of Christ. Verse 5, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us. And so we're building upon this theme. We started several weeks ago, the theme of spiritual giftedness, gifted for a purpose. God didn't just gift us so that we can feel better. He gifted us by the Holy Spirit of God in a way that corresponds to our place in the body of Christ. The analogy in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is that just as our body has different members that have different functions and different abilities, so too does the body of Christ. And when you get saved, God's Holy Spirit moves into your body, indwells you, and gives you an ability corresponding to the role that God expects you to fill in His church that He's going to connect you with. Now, sometimes people get saved and they're not immediately connected with a church. And you know what that means? It means that there's a church with a hole that you're supposed to fill. Right? Yeah. If you have a body that's missing a part, all right, there's a disability to arrange there. And so too it is with the local church. And I'm really enjoying this study because it reminds me of something. Sometimes when we talk to people about serving in the local church, that their thought process or the way that we approach that or think of it is rather monolithic. We only think of one thing or two things. And yet if you look at the gifts here, things that God gives you an ability to do through His Holy Spirit, it's really broad. It's diverse. Many things. Now, the first division that we looked at was the division of public ministry. Those are the gifts described in Ephesians chapter 4. And it talks about Jesus ascending up on high. He led captivity captive, and He gave gifts unto men. And He talks about some of those gifts: apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. We talked about the gift of the apostle, and that was given to those, the ones who were sent, the sent ones. There are specific qualifications that mean you're an apostle. There are no apostles alive today in the first century sense, in the Bible sense. Okay, you weren't alive during the earthly ministry of Christ. The apostle and the prophet. We talked about the prophet, the one who God gave messages to, and they would relay the messages to the people. Well, listen, God's message is complete. The gift of prophecy doesn't take place now. Now, you can take God's revealed word and prophesy. You can share it. But the gift of the prophet has ceased to exist, I believe. Thirdly, we said evangelist. The evangelist is one who shares the gospel. He's anointed of God with a special ability, drawing the net and seeing results. If you've done much evangelism work, if you've worked with different folks, there are some people who just seem to have an anointing. And friend, that's consistent with the scripture. Now, how many of us are supposed to share the gospel? All of us are supposed to be obedient in that area. And yet some people are specifically gifted. Evangelist and then pastor. We talked about pastor and also teacher. Those are the gifts of public ministry. And the next one was exhortation. We talked about them. We've come to the spiritual gifts of helps and ministry support. And we talked about ministry and hospitality. You're there in Romans chapter 12. Look at verse 7. Well, verse 6, it says, whether of prophecy, let us prophesy. We talked about the gift of prophecy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry. The word translated ministry there is also translated deacon. It literally means to serve. Okay, the gift of ministry, serving. Verse 7, it says, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. So he's talking about different spiritual gifts. And we also talked about the spiritual gift of hospitality, how that enables the believer to see needs, projects, and ways to serve, coupled with a desire and means of filling those needs, primarily service-oriented. Sometimes those with the gift of ministry and hospitality will see a need and wait to be asked to fill the need, but they're the only ones that see it because they have that spiritual gift. And they say, well, I never did it because nobody ever asked me. Well, nobody else knew it existed, but you did. And we talked about how that's a real need in the church and really a great asset. Well, we're moving on now in the next one. If you would look there at verse 8. He that exhorteth on exhortation, we've talked about that. And he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that giveth. I believe giving is also one of these spiritual gifts of helps. In fact, we linked three of them. We said ministry here, giving, and mercy. I believe these are three gifts of ministry helps, primarily support. The spiritual gift of giving, I believe it gives one the ability to recognize the special need of others, to see how best to fill that need, and is many times it's accompanied by the means to meet that need. The means to meet that need. This is a spiritual gift with the ability to give to other people. And I'd like to spend some time kind of breaking that apart. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, please guide our Bible study tonight. Help us as we consider these next two spiritual gifts of ministry support, how that they are behind the scenes, that they're not predominant. We don't think of that, but Lord, they are so needed within the body of Christ. Stir our hearts. Help us to realize that we're each called to function in this way, and touch hearts. Maybe one here tonight is gifted in this area and doesn't realize it or hasn't thought of it. And I pray, God, that they would take that as their ministry. In your name I pray. Amen. The spiritual gift of giving is definitely a ministry support. Why is the gift of giving needed? Well, there are needs within the body of Christ. There are financial needs. The ministry of the local church requires financial support to function as intended. In fact, we talk about that when we talk about giving. We had a financial series in stewardship earlier, I think it was last year, and we talked about the things that cost money within the ministry. Now, our church is a giving church. Praise God for that. And so I don't beat that dead horse, and yet the financial needs are there just by way of reminding you, the fuel bill, the power bill, the office supplies. We're going to be talking about that tonight when we vote on our budget right after the service. Building maintenance, vehicle maintenance, pastoral salary, equipment upkeep, various other expenses. And these are provided for by the tithes of God's people as they give to the local storehouse. In fact, Malachi chapter 10 puts it this way. He's talking to his people. He said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. We believe in storehouse tithing. And what that means is the 10% that you give as a tithe supports your local ministry. We have a separate giving fund that folks give as they're led by God called Faith Promise. That's a special division, and God is providing for that mightily. It doesn't take away from the local storehouse giving. In fact, many times when a church catches on to that, both blossom. As you see God give through you, the Lord will give through you more than he'll give to you, by the way. And you do see that take place in the Word of God. Financial needs are one reason why ministry giving or this gift of giving is needed. Another one is special needs. You know, there are special projects, needs of certain members, opportunities for encouragement, other areas where giving is needed. And sometimes we as a church will take up an offering. We have a benevolence fund that we give to folks. But you know, sometimes those things are not widely known in the church. Sometimes they're only recognized by one person. And if you have the gift of giving, sometimes your little radar can zero right in on that. And you say, they have a need. And God kind of whispers, not in an audible voice, but what they really need is this. Anybody here really bad at giving gifts? You know why I'm raising my hand? Not to encourage you. I'm admitting it, okay? I'm not good at giving gifts. And it kind of makes me feel bad because sometimes at Christmas when some people give you a very personalized gift, they're very good at it. They're gifted in that way. That may or may not be a spiritual gift, but this is. And the believer with spiritual giftedness in the gift of giving often fills the gap in that instance. Now, I do not believe that the spiritual gift of giving is these things. It's not tithing. All believers are commanded to tithe by faith. In fact, the book of Proverbs says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses to overflowing. The first fruits of increase is tithe. So this is not tithing. We're able to do so by faith. I do not believe that the spiritual gift of giving is a level of riches. You say, well, you know, that person's really rich. Maybe they have the spiritual gift of giving. Let me tell you, some of the people that are the most giving, tender-hearted, and can spot the need, sometimes they don't have much. But God just, he tends to supply their needs, and they're always taken care of. You don't have to be rich to be used of God as a giver. And by the way, I really loathe the terms of rich and poor in our country. We're so out of perspective. We say things in a 21st century American perspective. We talk about rich and poor and poverty levels when the reality is that the poorest person in America would be rich in 90% of the rest of the world. And so those are difficult terms. Realize the context. Turn over to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. This is one of those accounts in the scripture that when you read it, you kind of go, oh, how am I supposed to apply that? But it's pretty obvious. Mark chapter 12, verse 41. Now, I've got to confess with you, I've read this before many times, and I've thought to myself, if I were there, I would have had a different response. I'm not perfect. I'm not Christ. But I would have had a different response. But Christ is not. Look at the way he responds to this. Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. They didn't pass an offering plate. They would have some type of a vase or some type of a receptacle. And people would walk by and throw money in. And many that were rich cast in much. They made a show of it, okay? You know, like if you can imagine walking up with a jingling bag of coins, swinging it, and then dumping it in slowly so everybody hears all these coins, and oh, you know, they're looking, and wow, they're really giving a lot of money. Verse 42. There came in a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which makes a farthing. Okay? Half a penny. And he called unto his disciples and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. Now, your pastor, I don't know who gives what unless you tell me or unless I see things, but I don't keep track of giving. So when I'm preaching on giving, it's not personal, okay? And it, you know, by the way, I can preach on something and not be afraid of somebody withholding their tithe or whatever getting ill because I don't know who gives what. That's up to, that's between you and the Lord. But you know who does know? God does. And so Jesus, when this woman came through, nobody there knew the percentage that was being given by these rich people, and nobody knew the percentage that was being given by this poor woman. Nobody knew, but God did. And look at what he says. He says here, the woman cast more into the treasury, for all they did cast of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Now, you know what's interesting is Jesus is pleased by this. Pastor, wait a second. If Jesus stood there and knew that she was dropping that in and that's all that she had, why didn't he stop her and tell her to keep it? That's what you would do. If somebody walked up to you and you were hungry and you want, you know, you forgot your lunch at home or something, you needed something to eat, and that happens to me every now and then. I'll get out from the house. Man, I don't have anything to eat. Ah, my wallet. Hope I don't get stopped, right? Anybody been there? And I can't buy lunch, and somebody says, I'll buy lunch for you. And they say, this is all the money I have. I don't have anything else in the whole world. Would you take it? No, most of you wouldn't take it. I hope you wouldn't take it. I wouldn't take it. Does Jesus stop her? No. You know why? Because it honors God when we give out of our need by faith. That's a giving person. That's what giving people do. And God provides for their needs. Now, I'd like to know the rest of the story. When I get to heaven, I want to ask God, if I remember, you know, I'll write it down. God, what did you do? How did you take care of this woman? Because I know he does. That's the giving person. So it doesn't matter the amount of money the individual has. What matters is the heart, and God is honored by the heart, and God will give through these people. I believe God wants to use us as funnels to channel his blessings to the world. You ought to be a channel of God's word. You ought to be a channel of God, of the gospel. Some of us are a channel of resources, a channel of encouragement. Some of us are a channel of finances, okay? By the way, giving encompasses more than just money. Every time we talk about giving, we think, oh, just money. There are many other things that you can give to help people. But we're to be a funnel. The master mechanic uses all kinds and sizes of funnel. I'm not a master mechanic, but in my garage, I have short, wide funnels with big holes, and then I got one like this long, and then I took one and hooked a big hose to it so that I can snake it in places and put it right where I want it to be. And the small ones are just as important as the large ones because they disperse the material where I want it to go. And that's the way God wants his people to be. And the people with the spiritual gift of giving, they give it where God wants it to go. The marks of a giver, I think, one of them is they desire to give more than is expected. They desire to give more. They give with a cheerful heart. Turn over 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, all giving is sacrificial. However, this person seeks to give beyond their tithe to the local church. They realize that the God who gave it to them can supply their needs and can supply others' needs through them. Often they don't even think about it. They just do it. He talks about the churches in Macedonia. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, or to witness, observe this, of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. He's holding them up as an example. How that in a great trial of affliction, an abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded to the riches of their liberality. If you're looking for a paradox, that verse is it. Affliction, joy, poverty, riches of liberality. That does not make sense by the world's standards. But you know what they had, what had they done? Verse 3, for to their power I bear record, and yet beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying with us much entreaty that we would receive the gift. These folks were poor, they were persecuted, and they were giving to the Apostle Paul. Why? And they said, take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to saints. This they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Their heart had been given to God, and so everything else, just give it to God. A desire to give more than is expected, and really an ability to sense special needs. I think the marks of a giver are that way. Some people are good gift givers. Some people are not sensitive in this area, but I've known some people who are. There's been times in my life when I think every preacher goes through extremely trying times to help us appreciate things. Every preacher has those stories of being in seminary and not having two nickels to rub together, okay? Were you in seminary? You said, yeah, okay. And that's the way it was with my family, you know. And there was a church in Alabama, and I had a man, he came up to me and he says, Josh, I was interning there, going to seminary, interning at the church. He goes, you look like you're losing weight. And I was at the time. And he says, God wants me to give you something. He handed me an envelope full of cash. Now, he couldn't have known it, but we were struggling financially. We were living, okay? We didn't die, and we were serving God by faith. But my goodness, that met a need. That individual knew it. And that man, I don't think he was a rich man, but he'd give to other people. God used him. This person derives joy from giving. Look over at 2 Corinthians 9. By the way, these are commandments that we're to follow. The individual with the spiritual gift of giving, I believe this is a mark of them. Verse 6, I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a... Does that say God loveth a big giver? No. No. All these other organizations out here in the world, they would. If you give a little bit, but you're happy about it, they don't care. They have graduated giving things. You know, they reward you. Give this much and you get a hat. Give this much and you get a plaque. You know what? You give a little bit with a pure heart before God, God's pleased. God's pleased. Joy derived from giving. And usually they're blessed by God so that he can continue to give through them, just like the funnel that funnels it where, if you have a cracked funnel and it spills out, or you get a funnel that's plugged up and you can't get it freed up, where's it go? It goes all over. And you know what? You don't use that funnel anymore. That funnel might go in the trash can. You don't use it. But the person who God can trust, verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound to you ward, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food. The one who's being called to give, God's going to take care of you. And multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. The marks of a giver are that they embody this. Now, I would say there's some warnings to those that are givers. The one who has the spiritual gift of giving. Let him do it with simplicity, Romans 12 says. With simplicity. That word simplicity has the idea of purity in motives, not mixed motives. You know, sometimes we can do good things for the wrong reasons. Is it true or is it not that sometimes money has strings attached? Be careful. Don't ever do that. Don't give for the expectation of getting back. Be careful, Christian. If you're a giver, do so in simplicity, to glorify God. And when you have the desire to glorify God, God will be glorified. It'll keep you giving. Impure motives will kill your gift. They'll result in hurt feelings, unmet expectations, and eventually you'll fall out of service. Now, I believe ways that this person can be used, the one that has a sensitivity, special projects, encouraging the needy, helping the pastor notice the needs of others. Say, Pastor, did you know this person had this need? And the pastor's going, no, I was focusing on this over here, and I just spoke to them. I had no idea that was going on. But he didn't sense it. But you did. Special clothing needs, household, automobiles. I have known church members who gave cars to other church members, and they knew that that's what that person needed, and God gave them something that they didn't need. And so they said, you know what? I have this. I don't need it. And they gave it to somebody else, gave it to them. God can use those gifts. And what does it do? It builds unity within the body of Christ. He desires to use that. Now, God desires us all to give freely of ourselves. But I would say this person is gifted in a special area. When you give freely, it's a demonstration of your love. 1 John chapter 3, I'm going to turn over there. 1 John chapter 3, notice this verse. Verse 16. 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. That's how we know the love of God, the extent of it. Because he gave, but he didn't just give a little. He gave the ultimate sacrifice. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need. Isn't talking about just somebody walking down the road. It's talking about another church member, another brother in Christ has need, and you can meet that need. And shutteth up his bowels of compassion on him. How dwelleth the love of God in him? Ouch. That's one of those scripture verses that you'll read and you go, ooh, that hurts. And you know what God is saying is that we love others best like Jesus Christ did when we're willing to help meet their needs. The spiritual gift of giving is one of those. The next one is mercy. Romans chapter 12, it says, "He that showeth mercy, do so with cheerfulness." Mercy, this spiritual gift, gives somebody a desire and ability to sympathize with those in pain and show the love of Christ through merciful treatment. I think of mercy and grace as two sides kind of the same coin. Mercy is not giving others the punishment or treatment they deserve. Grace is giving them good treatment they do not deserve. We're supposed to exercise both. Mercy is withholding punishment. Grace is giving them a gift. The spiritual gift of mercy, it enables people to look beyond. The believer with the gift of mercy has the ability to look beyond the undesirable, sometimes unattractive elements of an individual and see the need that they have. Listen, folks, when people get saved and they've been living in the world, guess what they still look like? Guess what they still sound like? Guess what is still on their lives to a degree? And the church needs to love them and be merciful and be patient. And those with the gift of mercy are very effective at helping people along, coaxing them along in their early life, looking beyond. Sometimes the spiritual gift of mercy can help someone see pain, recognize those who are hurting, see through the exterior, and pick up on the pain that people are going through. They truly see through the eyes of Christ. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Well, guess what? Sometimes we don't know what burdens people are carrying. We're oblivious. We're carrying our own burdens. We're focused on this or we're focused on that. But those who have the gift of mercy can see it. They can sympathize, and they have a desire to encourage. They take a special interest in those who are unlovely and those who have little to offer, who are looked down upon or overlooked. And the spiritual gift of mercy, listen, it gives that person a desire to encourage others. Now, there are people that are good people, God-fearing people, but bless their hearts, they're oblivious to some things. You ever met somebody like that? Yeah, maybe you are a person like that, and you're just hyper-focused, and you're organized, and you do these things, and when somebody's struggling, you don't know it unless they tell you. But guess what? To the person who has the spiritual gift of mercy, everything about that person is telling them. And it's valuable to the local church. I think a local church without mercy is unbalanced. It's cold. It can't reach the world that desperately needs Christ. You know what Christ did? He showed mercy to the world. The merciful believer fills the gap and helps the needs of those in the congregation, is loving to the bus kids, is loving to the shut-ins, to the widows, to the needy, to those in pain, to those who have fallen to sin, to those who are going through divorce. The merciful believer is priceless. Now, I would say this, there's a warning with this one as well. Without truth, mercy can get us off track. It can lead to compromise. The Bible says to speak the truth in love, Ephesians chapter 4. And sometimes if we're not careful, our heart can lead us to go a little bit to compromise. And friend, that's not what we should do. The trip up for the person who has mercy is just like the trip up for the person who has giving. You know, they can go too far one way. Truth is a constant. Love is a virtue. The truth is the message. Love is the manner. So we should never lay aside truth, but administer it in a merciful way. By the way, I'll tell you this. If you have the gift of mercy, be sure your actions are always guided by truth. That your desire is always to bring folks back to the truth. All of us ought to act towards other with mercy. Turn over to Philippians chapter 2. Look at what the scripture says there. It ought to be the guide of our actions. Philippians chapter 2. Paul here is writing to the church. He wants them to get along. And he says, "If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves." That embodies the spiritual gift of mercy. Friend, you may be like that. And you always give people, you're kind to people. The word kind means to be easy on folks. You know the scripture verse in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Kind means to be easy on others. Doesn't mean you withhold the truth. It means you extend mercy to them. You know, we're all told to do that. If you have the spiritual gift of mercy, it's possible that God has enabled you to do that. And we ought to be doing it. Think about these things, about our spiritual gifts. Maybe you fit into this category of helps and ministry support. Maybe you've been gifted with the ability to give. Maybe you've been gifted with the ability to serve and to see needs of service. Maybe in the gift of mercy. But friend, whether you've been gifted or not, we all can do better. Right? Amen. Let's close with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word. I thank you so much for the admonition therein. I pray, God, that you'd work on our hearts. I pray, God, that you would help us to take these things to heart, to have a desire to be more like you, that these gifts of the Spirit, that we would follow them, obey them. In your name I pray. Amen. Would you stand to your feet, heads bowed and eyes closed? God's spoken to your heart tonight, friend. Maybe there's a person that you need to exercise mercy on. Maybe there's somebody that you need to give to. God has brought up something in your heart, a specific need or a decision needs to be made. Make that decision as the piano plays.